title to it, so put it up there if you will. How to thrive or just survive this Christmas. You know, sometimes you look at Christmas and think, man, I'd like to enjoy Christmas. And some people think, man, I just want to make it through. Either way, the formula is going to be the same. Luke chapter 2, I love this passage. It seems like we read this passage 50 times during the Christmas season, but it really never gets old. There's something incredible about it. Amber showed the video about the shepherd today, so we're going to look at the shepherd. Thank you, Amber, for making it a little bit bigger. And I saw a lot of people squinting. How many of you realize that squinting doesn't actually help? It really doesn't. You know, you're like, it doesn't help, all right? So just put glasses on. That's what helps, all right? Luke chapter 2, let's begin verse number 8. Verse number 8. The Word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them," two words, you ready? Fear not, for I behold you, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you," you got to circle words in your Bible, circle the little word you. Christmas is personal. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal event. It's not just a historical event, which it actually is, but it's a personal event. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I find it interesting the angels had no problem declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's one of the things that you'll have to get settled in your heart. Is Jesus really who He said He was? "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass." By the way, that phrase, "it came to pass," I was curious. It shows up 453 times in the Bible. Came to pass. That's just free. No reason to put that there except for my mind was just wandering today. "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Verse number 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." The word pondered there means, the root word of it carries with the thought of having a conversation with yourself. You know what she was trying to do? Is this really real? Is this really happening? She pondered. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As we read the second chapter of the book of Luke, we're immediately struck with the picture of Jesus lying in a manger. That's the scene. That's the symbolism of it. Bethlehem was a lonely place. It was lonely for Joseph and Mary as well. And they, not far away, were some shepherds. They were tending their flock, not too far away from this holy event that was happening. They were unaware of what God was doing. The shepherds were frowned upon by the highly religious people because of their job and their duties and their roles. Many times they were not able to be ceremonially clean. So they were kind of looked down on in society, but they were a vital part of it. heard a story of a little boy that had gotten the part in a Christmas play. Actually, I heard two stories. I'll tell one first and I'll tell you the other ones. The first one was this. I heard the story of a little boy that had won the part of being a shepherd in the play. The Christmas play at his school. But his dad found him walking around the house going woof, woof. And his dad asked him, he said, well, what are you doing, son? He said, well, I'm learning how to be a German shepherd. He kind of missed it. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Tina. Thank you. All right, that's a good dad joke. Here's the second one. You probably won't laugh at this one as well. I heard a story of a young boy that came in and told his dad. He said, Dad, he said, I got the part of a husband in a play. And your dad said, well, hopefully next year you'll get a speaking part. All right. Okay, we're done today. Amen. I went right up there. How to survive or thrive this message. Amen. All right. Number one. You ready? Number one, if you have your pen or pencil, let's write those down. Let's put off the husband thought today. And please don't look at my Facebook post from earlier this morning until after the service. All right. Number one, if you want to thrive or survive this Christmas, this is going to be deep. You ready? Hear the message of heaven. Hear the message of heaven. Put the noise of the world away. And all God's people said, hear the message of heaven. Can I tell you, God has a message for you today. He has a message for you every day. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at verse number 9. It says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The message from heaven is a glorious message. It's something that God wants to speak to you and I about. The glory of this message of the Christmas season is this truth. God keeps His promises. Keep that in mind whenever you're struggling today. God keeps His promises. That announcement of a babe being born in Bethlehem is the result of God's promises from hundreds of years before. The Word of God says in Isaiah verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Look at it in verse number, I didn't mark it, I should have. Look at it, verse number 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. What's the sign? You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. God said, I'm going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Matthew says the word Emmanuel means God with us. That promise was given 700 years before this event in Bethlehem happened. The book of Micah, a small book but powerful, was written by the prophet Micah 620 years before this event. And it says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, there were many other places called Bethlehem, so he was signifying what county it would be in today's vernacular. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto thee as to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's another promise. Another promise is God's talking about throughout the Old Testament, a Savior, a Messiah would be born. Can I challenge you today to hear the message of heaven? Because God always keeps His promises. Always keeps His promises. Not only do you get this truth, it's a glorious message, but I want to tell you today, it's just good news. It's good news. How many of you have kind of cut back on watching some of the news as of late? Amen? You know, never mind, I'm not even going to go there. Verse number 10, the Word of God says, and the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This good news will be to all people. Isaiah said this, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. The Bible says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It's a message for all people. One of the knocks on Christianity as of recent is that we are a people that do not care about others, particularly other aspects of our communities. People that have made certain lifestyle choices. The truth of the matter is God loves everyone. But here's the truth. God demands change once you come to know Him as your Savior. But anybody can be saved. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm looking at a bunch of anybody's in this room. And I guarantee you that if the list of sins that had been committed in this room before salvation were put on these screens, it would shock the community. But I want you to know this today. God loves everyone. Don't let society tell you any different. The Word of God declares that this message is, notice, the angel even says it, to all people, not just a select few. Hear the good news. Hear the great joy. Can you imagine? These shepherds are out in their field, woof, woof, just, you know, watching over their sheep. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. Now, I have no idea what this angel looked like, but apparently they were really able to identify this angel. They knew that it was an angel, not just because of its message, but because of what he looked like. But the angel said something in verse number 10 that I think we really need to hear today. The angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of, what are their next two words? Let's read those together. Ready? Of what? Great, great joy. Boy, we need joy today. Very little real joy is in our world. You can have it in all kinds of things and events, but those things pass. Nathan and Evelyn recently got married. And if you were to ask them about the joy of that day, it's relatively fresh in their minds, no doubt. But I guarantee you that they're already enjoying other aspects of their life together. Wait until you've been married 30 or 40 years. And that's what I told him whenever we were counseling for marriage. As one of the things I told him, I said, I'm so grateful that you're just having a simple wedding, because so many people put so much time and energy and effort into it that the wedding lasts longer than the marriage does. Amen? Put your energy and your effort into falling in love and staying in love with each other. And have a nice wedding. That's great. But you say, what are you saying? I'm saying that those joys pass quickly on this earth. At the time of that event, it was great. It was awesome. But you know, it's kind of fleeting, isn't it? Can I tell you something that's not fleeting? You ready? I'm saved. You know what that brings me right now? It brings goosebumps to my skin. You know why? Because I'm not going to hell. Hell's a very real place. I don't want to go there. I never really wanted to go there. But Jesus saved me. You know what that brings? Great joy. You know why? Because I know that out there somewhere in the universe is a God that loves me so completely that He loves me just like I am. And His Son was born in Bethlehem. He grew up and He died on a cross for me. The angels told them in verse number 11, for unto you, personally, the message of Jesus, Christmas time affects the entire world, but it's not about the entire world. It's about you and I as individuals. Hear the great joy. Hear the message of heaven. You want to survive? You want to thrive? You want to enjoy Christmas? You want this Christmas to be the greatest one ever? Hear the message of heaven. Get past the noise. Hear the message of heaven. Every day, God has a message. Number two. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." Sorry. There it is. It worked. Number two. Examine Jesus. Examine Jesus. You say, why? Because He's a personal Savior. Each and every one in this room got saved as an individual. Personally. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, but there had to be a day in your life, in my life, that He became my Savior. Step back from all the ornaments and all the presents and all the other and examine Jesus this Christmas. I said in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." By the way, the word Savior comes from a root word that means deliverer. He came to reconcile man to God. He's a personal Savior. Examine Him as a personal Savior, but also realize this in verse number 11. It says, Christ the Lord, He's a powerful God. Don't ever forget that that babe born in a manger is God. They came and they found Him wrapped in swaddling clothes. But really, it was deity wrapped in humanity. It was God becoming man. He's a powerful God. "For unto us," Isaiah says. Isaiah predicted 700 years before. He said, "For unto us," not unto you guys later, but "unto us is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah is writing this like it had already happened. Can I remind you of this? If God has promised it to you, then you can go ahead and take it as if it's already happened. Not, "I hope," or "it will." No, it's already happened. It just may not have happened in your life yet, but in God's mind, it's already happened. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder." Oh, well, long for that day. Saw a picture today of two men standing in a grave, and one guy was digging, and somebody walked up beside him and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" "You know, that's Ronald Reagan's grave, and he's dead." And the guy said, "Why are you digging him up?" "Because he's dead." He said, "Got to be better than what we have." "The government shall be upon His shoulder." There's coming a day when real justice will be in this world. Not the fake justice that our world talks about today, but real justice. "And His name shall be called Counselor." Have you ever known Jesus as Counselor? Examine Jesus as your Counselor. Let Him be the one that guides you through the problems and issues of life. Wonderful. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Shalom. When we know Him as Savior, we know the peace of sins forgiven. When we know Him as Lord, we know Him as the authority in our lives. Examine Jesus Christ. He's the peace giver. Have you ever had unrest? How many have ever had a sleepless night? A sleepless night, kind of toss and turn a little bit. Mind racing. How many of you ever had your mind racing before? Man, I thought it's like I can't stop it. Jesus is the peace giver. Verse number 14. The Word of God says, glory to God in highest on earth. Peace. Peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You and I can have peace in the midst of turmoil if we know Jesus. This holiday season, this Christmas season, I would encourage you, hear the message from heaven. Let God speak to your heart. Examine Jesus. Don't neglect Him. And then number three today, follow the path of the shepherds. What do the shepherds do? Well, let's read. Verse number 14, the Bible says, the angels and the heavenly hosts were saying, and it says, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And then verse number 15. I don't know how long this lasted. I don't know if it lasted an hour or 2 hours or 5 minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. It made a difference in these old boys' lives. Verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. I don't know if this is their first statement. I got an idea their first statement was this. Did you see that? Did you see that? Or was... Did I just go crazy? I got an idea. This is not their entire conversation, but after a little bit of discussion and a realization that one of them hadn't gone completely crazy, they said, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Ben Franklin, which was not a follower of Jesus Christ, Ben Franklin said this, how many observe Christ's birthday, but how few His precepts? Oh, 'tis easier to keep holidays than commandments. Follow the path of the Savior. If you're going to do that, you've got to do what they did. Seek the Savior. Look for Jesus. We will not find Him if we're not seeking Him. Christian friend, there must be a desire to know Him. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. This Christmas season, you may need to pray something like this. God, help me to desire You. A.W. Tozer wrote in The Pursuit of God, that maybe every once in a while a Christian needs to just kind of set aside this prayer and say, God, help me to want You again. Because I think all of us get to that place sometimes. We become a little apathetic. We begin weighed down with the struggles. And maybe if it's been years or months or even weeks since a message or a song has stirred your heart, then may I challenge you today, you probably need to seek the Savior. The Bible says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, and seek His face evermore. Isaiah wrote, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Savior. Verse number 16. And they came with haste. That means quickly, as fast as they could. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Not only seek the Savior, but see the Savior. See Him. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God sent Jesus to be the gift to the world. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seek the Savior. Look for Him. When you find Him, see Him. Listen to Him. Fellowship with Him. One of the words we've been discussing on Wednesday nights is this: abide with Him. That means to dwell with Him. In verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Follow the path of the Savior. Look for the Savior. See Him. And then speak about it. You know what our world needs today? Christians that will just speak up. You don't have to be mean or cruel, but you need to stand. Our world today has gotten into a position it's gotten into because Christians have kind of shut up. We've kind of been pushed in a corner. Christians need to say something. You don't have to be mean about it, but you just have to tell them, I don't believe that. Don't believe that. What's there to argue about that? I don't believe that. Period. That's all you got to say. Or the Bible doesn't teach that. God's not pleased with that. Speak of the Savior. We get a chance. Share how Jesus saved your life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved, and I don't speak about it near enough. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me was me being born again. And all God's people said, if you don't believe that, just go back and think about all that God's done. Those shepherds came. By the way, they came barging into this. They probably smelled like sheep. Rough men, calloused. I find it interesting that God used just regular old boys to go and share the gospel before anybody else. Just regular people. They were fully persuaded of what they had seen. We live in a world today that says one thing and does something else. I read the story recently. A lady was behind another lady's car and she began to read bumper stickers. How many of you like reading bumper stickers? I like reading those. Amen. I like reading all those. And on this lady's bumper stickers, it said, don't be fooled by genetically engineered food. Demand labels for food. Support only organic farmers. And the lady behind her was thinking, well, that's odd. She believes that. Why are we in the drive-thru for McDonald's? Hey. You may not have a bumper sticker on your car that says, I love Jesus. But your life says something. And people know where you go and how you live. Those shepherds left there and they spoke of the Savior. But no doubt, it changed their life. Unexpected challenges are going to come in our lives, particularly these times of the year. Some of the greatest joys are the Christmas season. Family, friends, loved ones, celebrating the birth of Jesus, all that. Some of the greatest heartbreaks are the Christmas season. Because there's an empty chair at the table. Because a loved one is now in heaven. Or it's an empty chair because there's a broken fellowship in the family. There's going to be great joy, but there's going to be great heartache too. Say, how do I get through that? Hear the message of heaven. God has something for you. Examine Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Just simply do what the shepherds did. Seek him. Lord, my heart's cold. Tell him the truth. He already knows. He knows if your heart is cold. Why don't you tell him, Lord, help me to want you again. Maybe you're in a position, you're a Christian, you've kind of gotten away from God, and you're kind of even indifferent about it all. Maybe your prayer needs to be, God, help me to want you again. Friend, if you don't have Christmas in your heart, you'll not find it under a tree. Having a tree in your house is not going to automatically, having the gifts, it's not going to automatically do it for you. You've got to know the Savior of Christmas. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I lovingly tell you that you're going to go to hell under the judgment of God. And God has done everything in order for that not to happen. You can come today and know Him as your Savior. If you're a Christian here today, you've kind of lost that joy. Why don't you just ask Him? There's something between you and Him. Get rid of that. Life's too short for that relationship to not be right. Head bowed, eyes closed this morning. How many in the room today say, Preacher, there are some heavy things on my heart this Christmas. Will you pray with me? How many raise your hand and say that today? Lord, hands all over.